Your next speaker is Lyndall R. Doty.
We hope you've had a good day today. It's been a beautiful day. We hope that all has gone well with you. Would you bow with me, please, as we pray together before our lesson? Heavenly Father, we're thankful unto Thee for this day, for the privilege that has been ours to enjoy. We're thankful, Father, for the opportunity this afternoon to go to the McMinnville Health Care Center and participate in worship with those fine people there. Father, we pray that much good was done from our efforts there. Father, we pray tonight as we study from Thy Word that we may learn those things which will help us to be the kind of people that we ought to be and to have the kind of outlook on life that we ought to have. Help us, Father, as we study that we may put into practice these things in our everyday life. Father, again, we're mindful of those who are sick, those who have special needs, and we pray that they might be comforted and cared for as those needs arise. We ask, Father, as we repent of our sins and turn from them, that we might receive the forgiveness of them. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. The Bible is filled with instructions about living a day at a time and living it fully. For instance, Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, where Jesus says, "Take up your cross daily and follow after me." In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34, "Be not anxious for the morrow shall take thought of itself." In Ephesians 5, verse 15 to 16, Paul writes to the church and the Christians at Ephesus and says, "Look therefore carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." And then this passage that I asked Brother Larry to read a moment ago, James chapter 4, verse 13 to 17, which emphasizes the need for submitting to the Lord's will daily, not a year at a time or anything, but asking if the Lord's will this day, that whatever we need will be provided and we shall profit and so forth. And then also, as you look at Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12 and 13, the writer is talking about the Old Testament people and their need for doing what God wanted them to do each day. And he says, "Take heed, brethren, lest haply there shall be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God. But exhort one another day by day, so long as it is called today, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." He goes on to say in verse 15, "While it is said, today if ye shall hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation." Today is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. All of these passages emphasize the importance of the day, of today, and making the most of it, don't they? Today, well lived, makes every yesterday a dream of happiness and every tomorrow a vision of hope, said Oliver Wendell Holmes. Today, a small word which describes the only time we have. The only time we have. The challenge is to use it properly. And the time to start is now. Today. This very night. Someone has said, "Dream not too much of what you'll do tomorrow or how well you'll work perhaps another year. Tomorrow's chance you may not need to borrow, for today is here." It's been said also that yesterday is a canceled check, tomorrow is a promissory note, and today is really cash. Use it wisely. Today is the opportunity that you have been waiting for. Use it. In my opportunities to be with several different kinds of people, one of the people I enjoy being around is a person who enjoys life and has a good time and has a positive outlook. One of those people is a friend of mine in Jackson, Tennessee. And I had a habit of saying, when I get around to it, I'm going to do that. And one day he brought me on a round piece of card, a little tag of some sort, and he handed it to me. He said, "Here's something you've been looking for." And I said, "What is that?" And I looked at it, and it had "to it" on it. And I said, "What in the world are you talking about?" He said, "Well, you've always been looking for that round to it. And there it is." Well, today, you see, emphasis is on Now is the time. Today is the day. Now is the opportunity. We need to use what we have today. We sometimes ask one another, well, how are you doing today? How are things going today? How you feel today? My wife sometimes, when I come home, says, have you had a good day? How do you really feel about those questions? You know, we've kind of accustomed ourselves to answer, yeah, everything's going well, you know. Very seldom do we actually answer perhaps as truthfully as we ought to, and say, when somebody says, how are you feeling today? Rotten, you know. We normally say, well, okay, you know, we go on. Sometimes you feel bad, don't you? I know that. Everybody has those bad days. Someone has said, though, that we have turned Blue Mondays. Why, I don't know particularly that it's Blue Monday, but we've turned Blue Mondays into Blue Weeks. That ought not to be. It might be all right to have a bad day every once in a while, but when our attitude is such and our life is such that we have bad days every day, then we've got a problem. And I fear that that's the case in many of our lives. Many people blame fate, environment, others. But if we want to have a good day, it really depends on our attitude and our outlook on life. The proverb writer says in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And I want to suggest to you that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is his day. It depends on how we approach that day as to what kind of day we have. We need to live each day with the right attitude and outlook toward life. Today was made by God for us to use. How do we use it? The psalmist says in Psalm 118, verse 24, this is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, I think in all fairness, I need to point out to you that that psalm is written about the day of the Lord and the Messiah coming. The day on which the Messiah would come is a day the Lord hath made. And in that day, there would be great need for rejoicing. I think that's what the passage says. But I want to point out to you also that every day really is the day the Lord has made, isn't it? And every day really is a day that the Christian has a right to rejoice in. God wants us to have a good day. How do you have a good day? A successful day. An enjoyable day. How do you handle tomorrow? Well, how are you going to handle the rest of the day? Well, let me offer some suggestions, as to how to have a good day. Now, if I had told you what I was going to preach on tonight, some of you might not have come. I don't know. Maybe some more might have. But I want to talk with you about how to have a good day. We talk about it all the time. Have a good day. Somebody just remarked the other day, they were on the phone with someone, they said, have a good day. We need to say that, but we need to also be doing it, too. There are some things, positive things, maybe a little negative thrown in too, but there are some things that you can do to have a good day, to have a better day at least. First of all, you need to acknowledge that today is a gift of God. If you get up in the morning and think about this day as a gift of God, we need to view every day as a gift of life, a gift from God. You know, He doesn't have to let us live till tomorrow, does He? He didn't have to give us this beautiful day. But we do have it, and we did live in it, and we are here tonight. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11, Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, He says, take up your cross daily and follow up to Me. Most of us are not satisfied with today. We want months and years guaranteed, and that results in insecurity. We must get back to the idea and acknowledge that today is a gift of God. I have today. Let us be thankful for today and be using it wisely. We are stewards of today. Act accordingly. We ought to have a spirit of gratefulness and a gratitude and appreciation. Let me offer a suggestion. When you get up in the morning, I don't know if I ought to carry this too far or not for some of you. You may think I'm crazy. But I'm offering some suggestions. You get up in the morning, and if you'll say to yourself, or say it out loud, and that's what I'm talking about. I don't know if I want to carry it that far, because some of you may think one of those is crazy if you do that. I know when my children hear me do that, they think, you know, something was strange about me. But when you get up in the morning, you might look at yourself in the mirror and say, "This is the day the Lord hath made. I'll be glad and rejoice in it." I mentioned this so much at Glasgow, Kentucky, in one of our ladies' Bible class, that one of our ladies did me a, I don't know what they call it, needlepoint, I guess. "This is the day the Lord hath made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it." I was going to put it in my office, and my wife claimed it and hangs it over the, has it hung over the kitchen table now, so I can look at it when I eat breakfast every morning. "This is the day the Lord hath made, and I'll rejoice and be glad in it." When you think about that, this today is a gift of God, and I'm going to use today to the fullest. I have it all day long, and I need to use it because God has given it to me. Then you're going to have a little bit better day than if you get up with a bleak, negative, pessimistic outlook and say, "This is going to be a bad day, I can tell." You know, there is no wrong side of the bed to get up on. You can have a bad attitude getting up on either side. It just depends on your attitude, doesn't it? So we need to get up in the morning with that kind of outlook. Something great can happen today for me. And it's the Lord's day, and I'm going to see that what I do will be in glory, or in, will glorify His name in this day. Sometimes we can't see the things which are around us, the great things that happen around us. I once heard of two men who were talking in front of a little store. They were saying, one was saying, "Nothing ever happens exciting in this place." "Yeah," replied the other, "about the most exciting thing around here is the birth of Lincoln's boy and the fact they call him Abe." Nothing ever exciting, nothing ever great happens around here, doesn't it? We need to lift up our eyes and look and see the great things around us each day. I think God intends for us to have that kind of an attitude. Now, secondly, we need to do more each day than you're required to do. If you want to have a happier day, a better day, a good day, do more than you're required to do. Start it out with that attitude. I'm going to do more than I'm required to do today. "Whosoever shall compel you to go with him 1 mile, go with him 2, said Jesus in Matthew 5:41. In Colossians 3:23-24, "Whatsoever you do, work heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that it is from the Lord that you receive your recompense of the inheritance. Ye serve the Lord Christ." We do not serve men. You don't serve your boss. You're not out to please him. Your primary objective is to please God. And brethren, we need to get back to that idea. It'll eliminate a lot of problems. Get back to the idea that what we do, let's work heartily, not because we're trying to be men pleasers, but because we want to please the Lord. And the way to please the Lord is to work heartily, to do more than required of us. You know, the Medal of Honor was given to men who distinguished themselves in military service by going beyond the call of duty. And when they were awarded this Medal of Honor, it was mentioned that these men have demonstrated their devotion to duty above and beyond the call of duty. Do you know that in World War I there were only 95 people who received that award? 95 out of all the thousands of people that served. And in the Second World War, there were only 300. Only 300 out of all the multiple thousands of people that served. Now, I grant you that most of these were under unusual circumstances. But I want to point out to you that if you want to be one of the elite, if you want to be one of the ones who's different than those round about you, in a good way, then do more than required. You'll be different. And God will pin upon you the Distinguished Service Cross or the Medal of Honor because you've gone above and beyond the call of duty. Very few today do more than is required. If you want to have a successful life, a successful career, a good and successful and profitable day, do more than is required of you to do each day. Now, thirdly, cast your burdens upon the Lord. I talk about this frequently, but I think it's an important part of our faith. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 17, casting all your anxieties on Him, for He careth for you. In Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, in nothing be anxious, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your lives in Christ Jesus. The writers even go so far as to say that we ought to count it all joy when we suffer divers temptations. James 1, verse 2 and 3. And Romans 8 and verse 28, the great passage, all things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. We need to have that kind of attitude to turn our troubles. I once read, and I know of some people who have had problems with anxiety and nerves and so forth, and who eventually reached the point where they had enough faith in the Lord that they were willing to turn those anxieties over to Him. And from then on, those problems of anxiety and nerves were dismissed from their lives. Now, brethren, it works. I don't know of a competent psychologist or psychiatrist that would ever suggest that it would not work to be able to turn over those problems to something or someone. Get rid of them. Get rid of the problem. Now, many psychologists and psychiatrists say, get rid of the problem. If you feel guilty, don't go to church, because He might tell you that you're... Well, the Lord doesn't say that. The Lord says, turn over those anxieties. Turn over that guilt. Turn over those sins to Me, and I'll take care of them. What we need to do is to learn to let our burdens be borne by the Lord. He can do it. He can handle it. He's able. We need prayer power. We need to turn these over and ask God's help to make our day better. Each day, a good day. And you can accomplish that if you'll be willing to turn them over to the Lord. Let Him handle the burdens. Trust in Him. Rely upon Him. Ask for His help and strength. He will provide those things and will provide that strength. If you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. Now, fourth, you need to watch your outlook on life. Make it positive. Now, last week we talked about how to develop a positive spiritual attitude. Don't be like the man whose grandchildren came in and caught him asleep and put Limburger cheese on his mustache. Well, he woke up and he smelled. He said, "Whew, this room smells terrible." And he got up and he went out into the house and he said, "Ooh, this house smells terrible." And he went outside and opened the door and walked out in the front yard. He said, even the world stinks. Well, you see, it depends on our perspective, doesn't it? Things are not always the way they appear. The key is your attitude about life. The way you approach life. The way you think about life. Change your thoughts, and your life changes. Now, Jesus taught this over and over again. We've just missed it a lot of times. You change your thoughts, and your life will change. That's what conversion is. That's what coming to Christianity is. That's what following Christianity is. Changing your thoughts, and changing your mind, and changing your whole being. And you can become what you need to be. Change your thinking. There used to be a song, "I'm going to change my way of living." Well, what we need to first do is change our way of thinking. And that will result in a change in the way we live. Jesus often said that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And out of the heart proceed the issues of life. What's he saying? The way we think, what we think, is what we do. We need to change our way of thinking. Let's look up to the stars. Two men in prison, both looked out through the bars. One looked at the mud, the other at the stars. It depends on which way you look. I want to challenge you to look up and stop looking at the field and the dirt. It'll kill you spiritually. Think the best of others and say something good about them each day. Our outlook on life ought to be to think the best in others. Jesus taught this. He taught us not to judge one another. Not to judge our motives. Not to judge one another's actions. We don't know why people do what they do. I don't know that you don't like me because you don't speak to me. It may be you're just so shy. Or you don't like preachers, period. You know, that may be a lot of things about it. But I have no right to judge your motive in that action. I have no right to judge your motive in whatever action you take unless I know, unless you tell me, unless I have some reason to believe firmly, convincingly, from the evidence of a certain thing. I don't have any right to judge people's motives. And I need to think the best of people. You know what? I think the best of those who are not here tonight. They're probably sick. We've got a lot of sick folks, haven't we? They're probably, you know, something interfered with them not being, something interfered with a lot of people not being here tonight. And you know, when you hear things, I try to believe about half of what I hear or less. A lot of times I try to believe a lot less than that. But we need to be careful that we don't attribute certain motives to certain actions. There may be a reason behind what people do. Preacher was noted in the town and the community for saying something good about every person that he ever preached a funeral for. And one day, the town reprobate died. The funeral director called this particular preacher and asked him, "Would you conduct the funeral service? We don't have anybody to do it. Would you do it?" He said, "Well, yeah, he would." Well, the whole town became aware of the fact that this preacher, who always had something good to say about everybody he preached a funeral for, was going to preach a funeral for this old, rotten character. And they were taking bets about whether he could find anything that he could say good about the man. The time came. The town turned out in number just to see if this preacher could find anything good to say about this man. He got up and he said, "My friends, there may be several things that one could find in the life of this individual that would be good and for us to say good about him. But one thing I know for certain, he could really whistle well." Well, it may take a little bit of searching to find something good, but we need to search and find it. It may be that all you can do is whistle well. And maybe all you can do to find out about somebody is that they can do some little thing. But it really, we ought to look for the good in others. I know it's awfully easy because we're lambasted with the negative and all the things that go wrong. We have a tendency to pick out all the bad about everybody. You know, if everybody was as bad as people say they are in the church, nobody's going to go to heaven. You know that? There's not a one that's going to have a chance. But I know better than that. Because I know that normally people will pick out the ones who are doing things that are wrong and leave all the ones who are trying to live a good, normal Christian life, trying to do good, alone. We always have a tendency to pick out the bad apple and talk about him or her, as the case may be. Well, let us be aware of the fact that we ought to have a positive outlook on life, others, things, events, and so forth. Now, fifth, remember you can't please everyone. If you're going to have a good day, you have to remember that you can't please everyone. You may try, and that's good, but it's impossible to please everyone. Do you know that the Lord Himself, the most perfect being who ever walked on 2 feet, could not please people? They killed Him. Crucified Him on a cross. I don't think He pleased them too much, do you? We may have a bad day because someone isn't pleased with us. Something that we do. And I know I've had this happen to me. You know, somebody call me up and tell me off of the phone or something like this for something I said or something I didn't do, or normally, generally speaking, something I didn't do. And it just let ruin my whole day. Well, you can't please everyone. We ought to just say, well, that's his opinion, and go on. But it's not easy to do, is it? We let people ruin our day because we can't please them. And you can please everyone. I once heard a story about an old man and a boy and a donkey who were traveling. And as they traveled along, they came along a group of people, and the people were commenting to themselves loudly enough that the boy and the old man could hear, and said, Isn't that old man mean? He should let that little boy ride that donkey. And as they progressed along, they came across another group of people. And this group were there, and they observed, and they said, look at that lazy boy riding that donkey while that old man has to walk. And as they continued on, they came across another group, and this group said, isn't that cruel? That old man and boy both riding that little donkey. And then they came across another group as they continued on, and this group said, look at that foolish old man and boy carrying that donkey. You know, it's all right to laugh in church, by the way. Not anything wrong with that. Sometimes we have to have a little humor to see the point of things. Now, ain't that right, though? Why, there's not anything that you can do that somebody can't find something about it they don't like. Well, don't be out here trying to carry the donkey simply because you think that somebody might not like you riding it. Try as you may. You cannot please everyone. Try if you like, but don't let it spoil your day if you can't. Live so as to please the Lord. And if you do that, you can have a good day. Now, 6. Take time to meditate on God's Word and to renew your mind daily. Now, I know we live in a helter-skelter, busy, humdrum, move here and there and got to get there on time kind of a society. But brethren, if we're too busy to meditate and to think about God and His Word, we're too busy. Now that's the truth. Oh, how I love Thy law. It is my meditation all the day, said the psalmist in Psalm 119 and 97. We need to meditate on the law of God, on His Word. I'm convinced that if we take a little time, a little manna in the morning, the bread of life in the morning, or evening, whenever you can find the time to do it, that it'll help your day. And I really think probably better in the morning to help you be prepared for the day, that you'll be a lot happier person, that you'll have a lot better day each day. In Ephesians 4 and verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, says Paul. We need to be renewed inside us, in the mind, in the intellect, in the spiritual side of us. We need spiritual exercise. Now, this requires effort. Just like any physical exercise requires effort, spiritual exercise requires effort. Take a moment to collect your thoughts during the day. It doesn't have to be a long time. Take a moment, maybe in the quiet of your office, the quiet of your home, as you're driving, but take a moment to regroup, to collect your thoughts, to think about your relationship with God and your need for His help, of how you can put His kingdom first today and how you can put your relation first to Him. Tell you, if we did that every day, we would have less problem with sin in our lives. We'd have a less problem with those big things that come along we have to make decisions about. Ask God to help you and rededicate your mind and heart to Him in this quiet time. This result is in a transformation of life. It said, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. A renewing of the mind results in transformation, like we talked about a while ago. We need to renew our mind, don't we? Because we need to be changed about some things. You know, it's interesting that the word transformed here, be transformed, is a word metamorphosis, from which we get our term metamorphosis. It means a change out of one shape into another shape. And he says we need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. A continuous process of change through the renewing of your mind. Remember that God loves you during this time. Remember that you're created in His image. Remember that you're a child of God. Remember that He forgives you and promises that He will. Remember that He cares for you and provides for you and has strengthened you. Remember those things. And it will renew your mind and help you transform your life. And then seventh, do something for someone else today. Want to have a good day? Do something for someone else. True greatness comes through service. Jesus made it clear in Matthew 23 and verse 11 that he that is greatest in the kingdom shall be the servant. It's the person who serves others who gets the greatest position. Now, say, well, that means you serve others so you can be great. No, that's not the point. The point of it is give your life in service and then great blessings will be yours, not only in this life, but in the life to come. The golden rule is here in effect. Treat other people as you would have them to treat you. Matthew 7 and verse 12. It is more blessed to give than receive. Acts 20 and verse 35. David Dunn, an author of a few years ago, wrote a little book entitled Try Giving Yourself Away. It's an excellent little book. And what it amounts to is this man suggests that you make a hobby of the golden rule. Literally make it a hobby. Think about ways that you can today carry out the golden rule in your life. How you can help other people. One little thing that you can give them. One little word that you can say and so forth. Isn't that a good thought? To make your life's hobby the practice of the golden rule. Treating other people like you'd like to be treated. A kind word, a smile, a listening ear, a note, a card, a letter of appreciation and thanks, a friendly greeting, a timely visit, a shoulder to cry on, a pie, a casserole, a sandwich, a cup of coffee, a cup of water in the name of Jesus. People say, I don't have anything to give. You can give those things, can't you? I don't have a lot of money. When I have a lot of money, then I'm going to give. No, you won't. If you don't give the little things, you won't give the big things. These are valuable things, valuable gifts. They cannot be purchased with money. You can't purchase those things with money. Yes, today. Today. Today is the day of action. Today is when the battle will be won in your life. Today is yesterday's tomorrow. Today is all you have. Today is the time for winning. Today is the day that's under your management. Today must not be wasted. What will you do with today? These suggestions that I've made tonight. Acknowledge that today is a gift from God. Do more than is required of you today. Cast your burdens upon the Lord. Watch your outlook on life. Make sure it's up, not down. Remember, you can't please everyone. And take time to meditate on God's Word and never or renew your mind day by day. And do something for someone else. Have a good day. If you put these things into practice, you can. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, your day will be a lot better if you become one in obedience to the gospel. If you're here today and you've gone astray and you don't really have the Lord on your side, today is the day of salvation for you. Today will be a good day for you if you'll come back to the Lord right now while we stand and sing.